Is that with AOL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enough said.
All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Hey, is Jim Croce dead or alive?
Dead.
What did he die of?
I don't remember, but he's been dead for a while. His son and his wife are putting out his songs together.
Okay. You know, I always get Jim Croce and Harry Chapin confused for some reason. There's really no reason for it, but I do.
Harry Chapin's the W-O-L-D guy.
W-O-L-D.
He's got a bald spot on the top of his head begging for a new toupee.
Thank you.
Those are the lyrics from the song.
No, I know, I know. No, I know that's how we played that. I think we played it for Sarah. I think we were trying to make her cry. It didn't really
ended
work.
Ended up in Boise, Idaho.
Seriously. Do you remember that song, W-O-L-D?
W-O-L-D.
I am... Is it nighttime or morning?
Morning. I am DJ. The morning D at W-O-L-D.
No, it was totally sad.
Oh. Playing all the hits for you, wherever you may be.
It was like that book
the
radio
bright
waves.
Good morning voice that's heard but never seen.
All right. 503-733-2970. Worst show ever. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the AM 970 Noon News Hour.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From higher down the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Portland's own Dr. Death agrees to stop being a doctor in the U.S. This is Dr. Jeanette Patel.
She's going to focus on the death part.
Mm-hmm. The Oregon Board of Medical Examiners unanimously approved the action almost 2 weeks after Patel agreed to, well, not practice and be a doctor anymore. A six-month inquiry into his tenure at a hospital found he may have contributed directly to the deaths of at least 13 patients who died through an unacceptable level of care.
An unacceptable level of care?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means they died.
No, I understand what that part means.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I thought you meant like never mind. I just had this image in my head of some sort of holding them so close and smothering them kind of a thing. Like an unacceptable level of care. That sounds like an unacceptable level of affection. That sounds like something you might end up on the map for.
I mean, he may have held them after they died, but he certainly wasn't paying any attention to them while they were alive.
He may have held them and stroked their hair.
You're going to a better place.
He may have held them and spoken to himself out of their mouths using his mother's voice. Don't put me in that fruit cellar.
Meanwhile, Ferris Bueller kicks off Flicks on the Bricks.
She's a slut, Norman. I'm sorry, what?
They're showing Ferris Bueller's Day Off at Pioneer Courthouse Square tonight. Okay. Admission is free. It is for the entire family.
I can't think of anything more torturous than seeing that movie in Pioneer Courthouse Square with like 500...
gutter punks?
Seriously, it's just going to be a bunch of homeless guys. Mm-hmm. That's all it's going to be, just a bunch of guys who look like that final scene from Pee-wee's Big Adventure at the drive-in. Hey, Pee-wee, brother! It's just going to be all of those guys. You've got it. It's probably on TNN right now. Go home and watch it. All right.
Snakes in a car.
Okay.
A slithery surprise found in the car at a grocery store parking lot may have been a prank rather than a work of Mother Nature. As it was, it turned into a prank that kept on surprising.
It's the prank that keeps on giving. Where did it take place?
This happened in Astoria.
Oh, damn.
Sherry Hart found a pair of garter snakes in the backseat of her car in a recent shopping trip, only to find more under a floor mat. An employee of the North Coast Fred Meyer said the lady was freaking out next to her car. Eventually, more than 20 of these snakes were found inside the car, some pencil thin, one the diameter of a quarter and 3 feet long. Apparently, this Fred Meyer employee recognized Hart's granddaughter, Paige, as a classmate in high school.
Yeah, they're just garter snakes, though. Garter snakes, they're harmless.
Yeah, I used to catch those on
They're like the show. Really? That's pretty cool. Normally, girls have, like, this inherent fear of snakes.
I love snakes.
Yeah. Snakes are great. I don't understand. I'm not saying that you want a house full of them or whatever, but I don't understand the fear of snakes. That's the thing that I've never gotten.
You know what I'm thinking? Have you noticed that there are starting to be an increasingly strange number of stories with snakes ending up in random things? I think it's a promotional campaign.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm. Do you think that they're just going around sticking snakes in odd places?
I think that they're probably planting stories, at the very least. That seems likely to me. Mm-hmm. Well, because the snakes on a plane. See, now I'm afraid to take any tangents at all. I'm afraid to stop and start to ruminate on anything.
Yeah, we've got
to
give Tim some time.
For fear that we'll do it at 2, that news hour. But I will say that those snakes on a plane, because here's the thing about snakes on an MFing plane. We have the theme song to that coming up, by the way. I think Aaron sent it to us. I think the band is called Cobra Patrol or something. Snakes on a Plane theme song. The thing about that movie is, you know, everybody's been agitating towards that, and the internet guys have just been, including myself, which has been crazy about it for months and months. But they're doing a really smart thing in that, you know, they're not showing any. I mean, there's a teaser trailer, and then I saw the full trailer, which has a few scenes, but they're not doing any screenings. They're not going to show it to the critics because I think they know that, like, they've got one good weekend, mm-hmm. and that's it. Like, unless the movie is somehow just Citizen Kane, which. Come on. I think they know that they're going to ride that wave of buzz to a huge opening weekend, and then it's just going to crater after. Because the movie, let's just call it what it is. I mean, the movie's going to be terrible. I mean, we all know that it's Snakes on a Plane. And when's the last time Sam Jackson really made a good film anyway? I can't even think of what year that would have been. So I'm not trying to dog the movie. I'm sure the movie will be great and enjoyable in a really terrible way. But that movie didn't really scream like Legs to me. So and they know that if they screen it for somebody now, the word's going to spread that, like, well, it's pretty terrible. And then nobody's going to go. So they are doing everything they can to ratchet up the buzz because they know they're going to pound in that first big weekend, and then it's going to taper off pretty quickly. It's going to have the Superman kind of a thing. So I would not be surprised if between now and August 17th, August 18th, whenever it is, you start to see Snakes in a blank stories everywhere in all of the mainstream media.
Fair enough.
I'm glad to do our part. Rick, Jim Croce died in a plane crash in 1972. So there you go. In case anybody was wondering about that, you were probably not.
It always happens when these rockers lose the popularity.
If you were a rock star, wouldn't you just avoid planes altogether at this point? Especially, wasn't it Leonard Skinner's plane where they just didn't put gas in it? There was some plane crash, I think it was them, where like the guy did, gas? Nah, we're fine.
No, that was John Denver.
No, it runs on E for a long time. Now you have a good quarter inch below E. Let's just go, come on, get on. That's it. No, wasn't John Denver's problem that he built the plane, like, in his basement? Wasn't that?
No, he ran out of gas.
First his career, and then his plane. Zing! I like John Denver. You know what it is? No, I can make that joke because that's like a whole lot. Many of my friends are Hispanic, so therefore I feel... I have a multi-ethnic family, so I can make this crude generalization. I like John Denver, so I can make that joke.
That is my favorite driving music. Whenever Nate and I go on a road trip, we listen to John Denver.
Oh, no. I don't understand people who... I meet every now and again somebody who claims that they hate John Denver. And it's like... even to work up the energy to hate John Denver seems pointless. Like, it seems like you would really have to sit and, like, work on that as a winter project. What are you doing? I'm building up my hatred for John Denver. I don't feel it's at practical levels yet. All right.
Meanwhile... a woman in Lowe is in trouble with authorities after dialing 911 to get hooked up with a police officer she found attractive. They play part of Lerna Dudash's 911 call on the Today Show this morning. That's our first soundbite.
Am I hallucinating, or did we have the story yesterday in exactly the same words?
We did, but we didn't have the soundbite, which makes the story.
Okay, well, let's just pretend that it's new. What, Tim?
Yes, this is a phone call. It's 911. Lerna Dudash.
Honey, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I just thought he was cute. I'm 45 years old, and I'd like to meet him again.
Oh, God.
But I don't know how to go about doing that without calling 911.
Oh, honey.
Here's part two.
It's like Tom Likas doesn't have enough material already. It's like she woke up saying, what can I give Tom for him to talk about today?
See, aren't you glad I brought this story back?
No, I am. No, I was wrong to second guess you, Tim.
All right.
I take it back. I withdraw said observation.
You have to trust me more. Here's the second part.
Are we going to have to do some exercise where I fall off a chair?
Honey, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I just thought he was cute. I'm 45 years old, and I'd like to meet him
again.
You
just said the same combo.
I didn't.
Honey, I'm just...
Okay, now listen, you sons of bitches. Okay, look at this. Today, Lorna 3 dot wave, all right?
Honey, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I just thought he was cute. I'm 45 years old, and I'd like to meet him again. But I don't know how to go about doing that without calling 911.
That's the one that's playing.
Yep.
Okay, today, Lorna 2 dot wave.
Honey, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I just thought he was cute. I'm 45 years old, and I'd like to meet him again.
So there you go. I played the correct sound. You need to trust me more, Tim Riley.
That's correct.
Let's all not hug.
I place my trust in Metro.
No, that's foolish. That's really ill-advised. All right.
Well, let's talk to CIA operative Valerie Plame.
Snakes on a Plane.
Who is suing Vice President Dick Cheney. And Carl Rowe for outing her as a CIA agent.
I would much rather be continuing my career as a public servant than be a plaintiff in a lawsuit. But I feel strongly, and justice demands, that those who acted so harmfully against our national security must answer for their shameful conduct in court.
She is disappointed with the American government.
I and my former CIA colleagues trusted our government to protect us as we did our jobs. That a few reckless individuals within the current administration betrayed that trust has been a grave disappointment to every patriotic
American. Yes,
we're all shocked.
I'm horrified that Karl Rove would do such a thing. It shattered all of my illusions.
Yes, let's make sure he's brought to justice right away.
Let's do that. Hey, is the Ferris Bueller screening sponsored by anybody? In other words,
I didn't look at the banners.
In other words, is that being presented by a couple or somebody before I read
Ray
this email?
Ray Cerrone or something? Ray Cerrone and Charlie? I don't know.
Oh, did you see that? Where did I put that newspaper?
Oh, I put it back here.
That thing about Kool and the Gang?
Let me find it again.
Who have many sexy women on their album covers.
They do.
They.
That was a good generic 70s thing.
You are. Your music is... And it's so awkward. When I was interviewing Kool from Kool and the Gang yesterday, it was so awkward to be talking to another man about the sexual vibe in his music. Your music is very sexual.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Rick.
It was all very... It's very squirm-inducing.
I'm still looking.
All right. Well, you...
I'll find it.
Is this right here?
It might... No, that's movies.
This joke is going to be so pointless.
I know, it is. I know.
Well, whatever. All right, we'll move on. We'll find it later. I was just going to make this observation about the Beach Boys thing.
Well, here, you can look.
Brought to you by Gordon's Fish Sticks.
Because right now we have to speak with Henry Kissinger, who's talking about the world in chaos between Israel and Hezbollah.
All right.
If they do not succeed in accomplishing the abandonment of the nuclear enrichment process by Iran, we will be in a world in which the institutions are no longer working, and we will be...
And we will be... He died halfway through.
He must be a patient of Dr. Death.
Sir, let's listen to that. I swear to God, he just quits talking at the end.
Accomplishing the abandonment of the nuclear enrichment process by Iran, we will be in a world in which the institutions are no longer working, and we will be...
Did somebody forget to pay our Metro bill or something?
You know what? We're almost to the end of our password.
Typically that doesn't just cut off halfway through a soundbite.
Well, I think we're supposed to change it a long time ago.
Hey, is it true that somebody dug up a huge phone line between here and the KUFO building and that no one can email or call them?
They did.
All right.
It was a phone man trying to commit suicide.
Was it really?
No, I don't know.
Oh, was it Quest who did that?
Okay, it's Smart Park that's sponsoring it, so you're all good.
Oh, okay, let me just read this. Rick, the Ferris Bueller Days Off screening is off a DVD on a crappy digital projector. You can actually see the guy press play in the menu. As a film lover, warn everyone not to see this. It's a bad presentation. Last time I was there, it was super stretched, and they didn't know how to fix it. God damn. Signed, Siegfried. So there he goes. FYI. You know what I was really bummed about? I went to see Brick at the Laurelhurst, which, again, is fantastic. It was 70s month there, or it is 70s month, I guess, and I missed Dirty Harry. They were showing Dirty Harry on the big screen, one of the most groundbreaking films of all time, and really the best in the series. It's before that character kind of turned into a parody. That's back when that Dirty Harry character was really impressive and powerful. They're doing all the President's Men, though. You got to go see that. Yeah, here's the... So I'm looking at this again. Kool and the Gang, sponsored by, you were correct about this, Clorox, Vlasic Pickles, and Gordon's Fish Sticks. And then tickets available at Gate. Hard as that may be to believe.
Cash only.
Yes, with the Beach Boys, with special guest John Stamos. And then the Beach Boys thing is brought to you by Kissin. And then Kool and the Gang, do you know who's bringing you that? Guess.
Charlie.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, God.
So there has to be at least one person working there to be able to arrange that.
The clip art person still works at Charlie, apparently. They haven't fired that. I understand. Somebody told me that at Intercom now there's actually only one full-time promotions person. That they've either fired all the other promotions people, or that they've all been taken into the office. Given that.
Would you like to work for 18 hours a week and receive no benefits? You'll really be working for 29 hours a week. What I meant to say is, would you like to be paid for 18 hours a week? Yes? Fantastic. Sign here.
So, which I believe is happening in
an increasing
number of offices over there.
I believe that was the end of somebody's employment when they questioned why they were working 60 hours a week.
Why am I working 75 hours a week and being paid for 12?
Well, we need you to be a team player.
How dare you bring that up?
How dare you bring up that fact? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Sesame Street is being used to help American military families explain why a parent has to leave and go overseas. A DVD featuring popular character Elmo and his parents are preparing for Elmo's dad to be deployed, and they'll be handing out free in August. Parents say, our kids in school are saying, my daddy is away killing bad guys. This prepares mom and dad to prepare the kids with better things to say.
Okay.
This week's space shuttle mission will bring a breath of fresh air to the International Space Station with the delivery and installation of a new device from NASA that turns astronaut pee into oxygen.
Sarah, by the way, had just taken a huge drink of her coffee, right? Sarah had just filled her mouth with liquid.
Well, the poor Russians are probably drinking this stuff,
so
right?
As you mentioned, they're breathing their own pee.
Yeah.
Well, that's awful.
This is America. This is a can-do nation.
No, really, that is Yankee ingenuity, is what that is.
Actually, we didn't invent this.
Have you hung up one of those new little trees?
This is a copycat of Russia's. Exact same system called the Electron.
You know what? Russians have been recycling their urine for various things for years anyway. I believe there are still some vodka left in this.
Well, it uses electrolysis to turn petrified urine into breathable air and has been used on the space station for the past 6 years by Russians. A new setup offers an important backup system.
How long does urine have to sit before it's petrified?
This is a backup system for the Russian...
It is a backup system.
For the Russian pee maker, which has been working overtime.
Is the Russian pee maker just a guy named Olaf who sits in a room and drinks a lot of beer?
Well, it says Russia intends to operate theirs as long as possible, far beyond its planned lifetime.
They're what?
But when the Russian machine fails, this is the backup system. So instead of Russians stealing from us, we're stealing from the Russians.
But, I mean, the idea that you're not only breathing in, and again, this is a news story.
It is.
Where is it? Let me see.
Technology.
Technology
and space.
Petrified urine that's
been converted
to Wired.
Oxygen. Yeah. No, we're reading this. This is part of our science corner here at AM.
It's for the children. It's in our for kids' sake segment.
This is part of our new news hour at 1:30.
Live, local, relatable.
The idea that you're not only breathing in, but it's not even like the primary urine. It's like backup urine.
This is Russian urine. It's not to be confused with American urine. So it may operate differently. Because they are on a different diet than we are. I mean, they're eating rivets from the side of the space station because they have such a food shortage.
Okay.
Now, this new U.S. generator. No, please stop. But this is better than the Russian one because... It provides enough oxygen for six astronauts, and the Russians only can be used for three.
Okay. Can we be done? Oh, I swear to God, there's a woman named Charlie on the phone about cooling the gang. Well, I guess it'll have to wait. Insert blah, blah, blah. Sorry, Charlie. Joke here. 503-733-2977. Thank you. Coming up, Ed McCarthy will actually be joining us. See, aren't you glad we came back and did a whole news hour here? Halfway through. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. I think I've actually injured myself laughing. Good Lord.
I don't think it could be warmer in here.
I'm not really hot.
Huh.
Are you...
Yes, I'm going through the menopause.
Are you just all over sweating?
Face. All right.
It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. Just a moment, we'll welcome a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy, to the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up later on at the 2 o'clock hour, Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. I got to play the Snakes on a Plane song. And then I did... Now, you know, I didn't get a chance to really do this segment earlier when I talk about, here's what's happened since we've last talked. I got so distracted by this Devil Wears Prada thing. But if I sound a little wacky today, And I suspect that I do. It's because I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed at 1. I got up at 5, and I haven't been back to bed because I had to take Laura to the airport. And anyway, so I sound a little kooky because she was out, and she's gone for like a few days. And anyway, but she was at the store last night, and she was buying some crap for the trip, and then she got this. I showed this to, I don't know where Tim went to, but I have no idea what this is. It's one of our favorite things on the Rick Emerson Show. It's an Asian mystery food. And I know that it makes me an ugly pig-like American.
And it has a smiley face.
I honestly, by the way, you can go to rickemerson.com right now and you can see a picture of this. I honestly don't know. Oh, it's a really good picture too. You can really see it. I honestly don't even know what language this is. I mean, I know that makes me a terrible person, but maybe it's Japanese. Maybe it's Mandarin. I could be Romulan. I don't know. You can go to rickemerson.com right now. You can see the picture of this mystery food.
Yeah, for all the problems I have with my Razer phone, it's a really good camera.
Yeah, I have nothing. I have no idea what this is. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy joins us now from Atlanta. How are you, Ed?
I'm good. For just a minute, we're waiting here. We had a lightning storm.
He's in Atlanta?
In Atlanta.
Are you in Atlanta? Because I know you're...
Now the sun is out, so that's good. See, you're good luck.
Rick, yes, just rub my head and I shall bring you fortune.
We just had a lightning bolt. So my wife says, why don't you call him back on the cell phone so you don't get killed?
Is that really true? Can you really be killed if lightning hits your phone?
Yes, you can.
Is that actually... I always wondered if that was an urban legend or not. Like, you always hear in radio about some DJ who's on the air during a lightning storm, and then, like, the lightning hits the transmitter, and it goes through his headphones and, like, burns him or, you know, some blows him off his chair. You always hear about that, but I never know if it's real.
It's got to be real.
Because you're talking about the shuttle coming. Where does the shuttle come down at?
Comes down Monday. Hopefully they're going to try to bring it in to Kennedy Space Center, which, you know, that saves them about $1 million every time they do that.
Now, are they clear about whether or not, I mean, make light of it, but there was all this crap falling off of it when they launched it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, this one seems to be better because they did a real big check on it. They had all kinds of cameras out, and they checked everything out. So it seems like it's going to be okay. We heard about those gap fillers again, you know, and those would be like Roman candles, you know, when they just boom, you know, they go through the atmosphere and all of a sudden, you know, they start lighting up like a wick. But no, I think they're going to be okay on this one.
All right, so we got that. And then am I reading this wrong? Sarah told me this, and it's one of those phrases that she uses sometimes, and it didn't, like, I just... She told me what you were talking about, and I just sort of nodded and went, uh-huh, and just, like, continued doing my show prep. And then it just sort of occurred to me later what she'd said. Are you actually talking about a terrorist attack on a kangaroo farm?
Can you believe this one? This is a classic. This is Dawsonville, Georgia, which is not too terribly far away from where we are. And, you know, I've been up there. I go up there to play golf every once in a while. And this blows you away because there's a kangaroo farm up there, and that was put on the list as one of the potential terror targets.
What is the... And this is where exactly?
Dawsonville is about 40 miles north of Atlanta.
Okay, A, and B, what are they growing kangaroos for?
Well, it's like a research facility or something. I mean, they got some kind of a kangaroo farm, and it's,
What is it that they're testing that requires scores of kangaroos?
Probably the pouches. They must test the pouches about 6 months a year, I think.
Are you just screwing me? I wouldn't even know if you were just jerking me around right now.
I'm kidding you, of course, naturally. I have no idea.
I don't know. You work for CNN, the world's premier news gathering.
Nobody has an idea what this is all about. I called up, and there was this sheriff's captain, and I called the guy up, and I said, well, what is the deal on this? And he goes, I don't know. He says, they ended up on the list of terrorists targets, he says, but I think that, he says, a Walmart probably could be more of a target because they don't get too many people going there.
Now, this is like the artist rendering of his accent. This is... Wait, hold on. This is...
That's it. Well, it's true. I mean, it's exactly what the guy said to me, and that's how he sounded. I mean, I'm sorry.
That's fantastic. If you could, by the way, if you could get pictures of the kangaroo farm ever, I mean, if those ever come along, no big deal. But if you could ever get a picture of the kangaroo farm, just send it our way. Or just a sign that says, like... You know, this is like a Dawsonville kangaroo farm. That would be fantastic. I'll make that my new screensaver.
I could just think, what are these guys trying to do? They're trying to get the kangaroos and put something in the pouches and have them all go up simultaneously? I don't know.
I really don't know. All right.
But they get government money for all of this, so, you know, that's what's funny.
There's really nowhere to go from there. All right, Ed McCarthy, sir, enjoy your weekend. We will talk to you very soon.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you. There you go. There's a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy.
I'm almost tempted to eat one of those things. I'm really hungry.
Have you seen? Oh, Tim was gone.
A Brillo pad with a smile.
No, I'm looking at this Japanese food right now. It is a mystery food. Because Laura knows that I got to. You know what else they were selling? I'm going to make Scotty eat some of this. Well, maybe this, too.
Well, those people will eat anything that washes up on the beach.
They will. Those people. Can I just tell you, we were watching this Japanese toilet training video yesterday. Have you watched that?
I have it on here now. I don't have any sound, though.
Don't. You got to wait till there's sound.
Okay.
The sound is like 80% of that. It is safe for work, more or less. I mean, it's nothing. It's not crude. It's not dirty.
It's instructional.
It's an instructional Japanese potty training video. And again,
you
it's
need
not,
to be Japanese to gain knowledge from it.
No, you needn't, Tim. It's sort of like one of those pointy menus at McDonald's for mutes. You can just sort of watch it and figure out the thrust of what they're talking about. If you get a chance, though, and you're at a computer with speakers, go to rickemerson.com and watch the Japanese potty training video. It really is pretty great. There is, and I got, here's a funny thing. I got to tell you this. I wasn't going to mention this. I'm just going to hold this inside my head. But I found that Japanese, or somebody sent it to me, that the Japanese potty training video, which is just, and it's a real deal. It's clearly not like fake. It's a real Japanese potty training video. And it's just so weird. And a guy sent it to me, and literally, this is what happened. I was busy reading my email, and I had gotten an email from a guy. Some listener, he lives here in Portland. He married, his wife is from Japan. She's here, he lives here now, obviously, live in Portland. She listens as well. But she's originally from Japan, and apparently she is constantly and consistently angered by this program and the way that we, quote, make Japan out to be a country of crazy people. And she's always apparently throwing it some sort of tantrum about the fact that I am giving a false impression of the nation of Japan, that I am making them look as though they're weird or strange in some way. So I swear to God, this is completely on my mother. This is true. I hit reply, and as I am, like, dear guy with Japanese, I am sorry. I did not mean to imply that Japan is weird or strange. And as I'm doing that, I get in my inbox, Rick, check out this Japanese potty training video. And I watch it, and of course, it's the most effed up thing I've ever seen in my life. It is so beyond bizarre. And the guy was all upset. His wife was apparently upset that I mentioned the thing about the vending machines that sold underpants.
Well, that's a fact.
Well, and he's
and
like...
And it's creepy.
No, but here's the thing. He's like, you know, you make it sound like it's a nationwide thing and that they do it everywhere. And, you know, it really is. But here's the thing. A vending, and he's like, we know you're really misrepresenting it, and it's not a lot of underpants, and it was in a small part of the country. But here's the thing about that, is that a vending machine that sells underpants, which I believe were used,
yes,
that's not a sort of thing that you just, that like thieves just come in the middle of the night and they sneak in and they install it somewhere. You know what I mean? Like under cloak of darkness, we will install a vending machine that sells used panties, and then just go put it in. That's a business, which means that you have to go to the city and get zoned for it. Like, you have to go to the, well, what's your business? I run a hot dog stand. How about you? I sell frozen yogurt. What about you? I sell vending machine filled with used panties. Okay, stamp, you know, go ahead. The Chamber of Commerce wishes you luck. That is microcosmic, as they say. That really is emblematic of a larger culture. Anyway, so Lara knows that I got a whole thing for weird Japanese food. You know what else they were selling? Candy-coated squid shreds. I wish that she bought me some. I don't even know where she got
this. Then I definitely don't want
to
eat that.
Well, this isn't squid, I don't think. Whatever it is, it's got a it's happy to be eaten. Tim pointed out it's a happy food. The food wants to be eaten.
And it does look like a Brillo pad, you're
it
right.
It does. So if you go to rickemerson.com, again, I don't know what store she got this from. What store would she have been at that was even selling this?
I don't know, maybe like New Seasons or one of those.
New Seasons would like, it's not labeled. Normally they put at least like a little English on it, so you can't, there's nothing. I have
no
idea.
So we're not sure the content of this.
I really don't even know that it's a food, come to think of it. I think it is.
That's actually a good point.
Well, it looks like something you would scrub a car with.
What else could it be if it wasn't food?
Can I see it?
All right. Scotty.
Yeah, because that's a vegetable.
Scotty, please come in here for a minute. It's a 503.
He's fluent in Japanese.
733-2970. Scotty J, please to the. Wait, hold on, let me do. I have to have a sounder here. Hey, hello, no, Scotty. How are you doing?
Not good.
All right. How's your. Let me just move the microphone over here.
All right,
not
Scotty,
good,
how are
that
you?
I know what's going on here.
Well, here's the thing. Scotty, better you than us. All right.
I'm going to guess raisins.
I don't believe those are raisins. Okay, Sarah's opening the bag. Now go to rickemerson.com. You can see a picture of the Japanese mystery food. Is it Japanese? Do we know that that's the case? All right, so what does it smell like, Sarah? Oh, that's a bad face.
All I can say is her first look was pretty bad.
Let me ask you, which of the following words best identifies the smell?
Okay.
Fruity?
No.
Putrid?
No.
Filthy?
Mm-mm.
Yak-like? Fishy?
Fishy.
Ah, bada-bing. Okay. And what is the...
Smells like fishy chips.
Let me... fishy chips. Eat a fishy Joe's. Ride the whale.
Go ahead, Rick.
What is this?
I don't know. They're a lot smaller than I thought they'd be.
Oh.
I think they're squid's eyes.
I don't know.
But there's a vegetable
I think
on the
this
front.
Is meant to be consumed with black Coke. Ooh, and they're all shiny.
It's shiny?
Here, it's freeze-dried sushi chips.
Here, Scotty, eat this. Hold your mouth up to the microphone so they know you're really eating it.
Come on,
it actually looks like burnt dog biscuit.
All right, well,
sorry to say.
Have at it.
Delicious. Tastes like Funyuns.
Really? Sarah?
I'll try one.
Ooh, it's really good. You even taste the...
Is it
tastes like sushi now.
Are you having a whole flavor explosion?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I feel the hot dip in there.
I want to wait an hour to see.
Pretty good. It's really good.
Well, that's disappointing. Well, I can't. Right. They can't
his
all.
Voice is raised 10 octaves. Yeah,
they can't all be like that placenta shampoo.
Wait, let's give Scotty a round of applause.
All right. Thank you, Scotty. That is pretty admirable. You know, we could have just been feeding him poison-covered glass.
That's
for all
the quickest
you know.
He's ever left this room.
No, it's true. All right, here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Well, a woman in Marion County, Florida. Was critically injured when she was pulled into and trapped in a brush car wash.
I didn't even get on the board that time.
This happened at Soapy's Car Wash in Ocala, Florida.
Soapy's Car Wash.
Somehow, she became trapped in the machine used to scrub vehicles. She was entangled in a hose that pulled her into a spinning brush called a gyro. The manager was able to shut the equipment off and push the emergency
button. Wait, hold on. So how did
she get out of the
This car? Was a drive-through car wash. The kind where you either stay inside your car with it or you get out of your car and it gets on the thing hooks your wheel and it pulls it through.
Right. She became entangled in some sort of hose and it pulled her out of the car onto a spinning brush called a gyro.
That's one of those, the big-ass brush that scrubs the side of your car down.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Soapy's car wash equipment was expected to be out of service for the next couple days.
As they scrub the human remains out of it. As they hose her flesh away from the brushes.
Oh, she died?
Is she dead?
No, she's not. She's critically injured, though.
Oh, well, that's something at least.
There's something to be said for that.
As they untangle her hanks of hair.
Oh.
Well, look, come on. How does your ass get inside a car wash? You know what I mean? That's not a thing where you suddenly take one inch to the left too far when you're standing there or something. That's an appointment injury.
A woman in St. John's was killed at the car wash here a few years ago.
Really? Was it one of these car washes?
Yep. And they put a bucket of flowers next to the door as a memorial to her.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
That makes everything okay, doesn't it?
It does. Makes everyone feel better.
Rick, please just let Sarah get the Florida sounder. No.
Well, I just happen to have a second Florida story.
Oh, no! Oh, I hate you. I hate you with everything in me.
Which one else? Oh. This comes to us from Jacksonville, Florida, the home of Richard Nunn. A Jacksonville woman said she was attacked and her lips glued together by five women who entered a home when she returned home from walking her dogs. She said besides gluing her lips shut, the woman who attacked her also held a knife to her throat. The same alleged criminals earlier sprayed the words, "Leave or die" on the woman's door.
What?
I wasn't even listening.
You
five,
should be.
Five women
I was
broke
reading
into her
hate
house
mail from a teacher.
Her.
I'm sorry, what?
Five women broke into her house and started threatening her.
Who?
This poor woman.
The woman
whose lips were taped shut.
Oh, is this that? I wasn't even listening.
Same
is that
story, yeah.
No, once I lost in the Florida sounder, I became disinterested, and I was reading this email that said, "Screw you, Emerson." So let's start at the beginning again.
All right. Once upon a time...
Where?
You just wanted to play the sound.
A Jacksonville, so Florida woman...
Yeah, in your face, sir.
...was attacked with her lips glued together by five women who broke into her home after she came home.
Is this like a set-it-off kind of a thing?
I guess so. The same alleged criminals earlier sprayed the words, "Leave or die" on the woman's door.
Well, it seems, given the choices, leave would
sleep
be appealing.
With all their husbands?
They also tied and handcuffed her and started slapping her in the back with a belt.
She totally slept with her husband.
This is a hoe.
Yeah.
When I made a comment, I was making too much noise, and they were looking around for something to put in my mouth, and I guess they found some crazy glue I had, and thought it would be funny to glue my lips together.
And indeed, they were correct. Making too much noise as they slapped her in the head with a belt. So does it say, it sounds really short on details here. Does it say why?
I have more details.
Okay.
The woman allegedly pried the victim's lips apart, covered her top and bottom lip with glue, and held her mouth shut so it would dry.
Those weren't the kind of details I was looking for, but they'll do.
The woman continued, "When my lips were quite shut, I felt taping ripped around my head and felt my lips in the back." It was not the first time she was threatened by this group of five women. They also vandalized her car.
My car.
She said, "The attackers might have some connection to my fiancé." These are allegations that the victim was having trouble with an ex-girlfriend. "I've never seen anything quite as bizarre as this before," said
I don't understand
Jackson,
this.
A spokesman for Jacksonville Police.
All right, so it sounds like one of the five women is the ex-girlfriend of the woman whose lips got glued together.
Let's all stop for a second. Does your face hurt from laughing?
Yeah.
Well, I can start again.
No, please. Let me see this. Let me see this story.
Can we get those chips out of the room? It's starting to smell.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, they're a seafaring people.
Scotty, I'm just going to set these. Here you go. Have some happy food.
Okay, there you go.
Very kind of you, Rick.
All right. A Jacksonville woman says she was attacked and her lips glued together when she returned from walking her dogs. All right, well, there's clue number one. When she returned from walking her dogs. Mm-hmm. Not one dog, many dogs. The woman said behind gluing her lips shut, the women also attacked her, held a knife to her throat. They pushed me into the bedroom and told me to take my pants and bottoms off.
What?
Tim skipped that sentence for some reason.
Well, I wasn't done yet.
Well, you were busy. I couldn't understand. I'm impatient. I have to know. She said five women broke. I don't understand
okay,
this.
Stop
okay.
Stop reading the five women in the glue.
I'm going to read this. Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to read the story top to bottom. At the end of this, if you understand what's going on, call us and tell us. Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. A Jacksonville woman said she was attacked and her lips glued together by five women inside her home when she returned from walking her dogs, according to WJXT.
The home of Richard Nunn.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, we got to call him about this. The woman, he could tell us if it was raining outside as it happened. The woman said, beside gluing her lips shut, the women who attacked her also held a knife to her throat. The same alleged criminals may have spray-painted the words, "Leave or Die," on the woman's door. She said five women broke into her home and started threatening her. Quote, "They pushed me into the bedroom and they told me to take my pants and bottoms off," end quote, she said. When she was naked, the attackers forced her onto her stomach, tied and handcuffed her, and began slapping her back with a belt. They made a comment then that I was making too much noise while being beaten nude with a belt. They were looking around for something to put in my mouth. I guess they found some crazy glue I had and thought it would be funny to super glue my lips together. Indeed it was. The women allegedly pried the victim's lips apart, covered her top and bottom lip with glue, and held her mouth shut so it could dry. While my lips were being clamped shut, I felt tape being wrapped around. These women really go all out. This is sort of like a belt and suspenders kind of a thing. I felt tape being wrapped around my head and more slaps on my back. The woman said Tuesday's incident was not the first time she was threatened by the group. She said they also vandalized a car. Police said the attackers might have had some connection to the victim's fiancé. There are allegations that the victim has been having trouble with an ex-girlfriend. See, that's the part where they lose me. It seems like it takes a hairpin turn there, said the spokesperson.
A problem with his ex-girlfriend.
No, the victim.
With an ex-girlfriend, which means it could be her fiancé's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, okay. So the woman is having a dust up with her man's ex.
Yes.
And then maybe the friends of the ex were like, we'll get that hoe. And indeed they did.
Wow.
And then they said leave or die. I would be leaving if I were you. That seems like that equation is now clear. Okay, there you go.
Meanwhile, London women going out on boozy nights have been warned by police to wear a nice pants in case they fall down in the street. Pants, by the way, are like underwear, as they term it. Suffolk Police Safety Campaign magazine shows pictures of young women slumped to the ground next to messages urging them, quote, if you got it, don't flaunt it, unquote. If you fall over or pass out, remember your skirt or dress may ride up, the magazine says. You could show off more than you intended.
Are there just women lying drunk in the streets of Britain all the time?
For all our sakes, please make sure you're wearing nice pants and that you recently had a wax.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you kidding?
Readers are also told to stick with friends, book a taxi home, and watch the amount they
drink.
But
most importantly, wax. Mm-hmm. Most importantly...
Well, this is fashionable London. Police said the Safe magazine gossipy tongue-in-cheek style was designed to alert young women to the dangers they face if they get drunk during a night out.
Okay.
Quote, we need to raise their awareness of potential problems, says Chief Superintendent David McDonald. They become more vulnerable whilst under the influence of alcohol.
Okay. We've got this... let's see. Who is this from? We've got this... this is from our good friend... Todd the Corpse.
Come on!
He says, Rick, did they report that the woman with her mouth glued shut longed for help? And then he writes at the bottom, Z. Thank you. Okay, here's Tim Riley, the AM 970.
From Utah comes word.
Okay.
The dog did it. That's what police in Ogden said about how one of their pickup trucks got put into gear and ran over a woman.
Oh.
A ranger, a German Shepherd,
bad dog,
was left in the truck when officer
no.
went to check on a domestic disturbance
Mustn't.
Call. The engine was running to give the dog air conditioning, but ranger hit the ship on the steering column. The truck rolled forward, running down Mary Stone as she went to her mailbox.
Like a bad farce.
And then
come to
plowed
life.
Through Stone's yard into a car in the driveway.
Oh, Stone who runs over his owner? Who? Who?
Stone has a fractured pelvis and a... broken tailbone. She also has marks on her clothes. The husband is fuming. He's heard nothing but police, not even an apology. Investigators will look in to see if the Ford had some kind of malfunction since the driver's supposed to step on the brake to put it into drive.
All right. Rick, I want you to know every time you hit a rant, an orphan loses an eye. Okay. Thank you, sir. Let's see. Rick, what the hell? Sometimes this show feels like an alcoholic father that keeps promising to take me to the bark, to the park. And a bottle later, all of the promises are put aside until the next day when it happens again. I've got to think that Tim often feels like the forgotten son. How about this? Rick, we have three children in our lives that absolutely... You're a mistake, you know.
I think we know where the bottle went.
If this had happened in 1973, you wouldn't be here. We have three children in our lives that absolutely love listening to your show. Ages 12, 11, and 9. Two boys and a girl. Whenever we are in the car, they ask us to turn on the Rick Emerson program. Well, that's good, I guess. Let's see, how about this? Charlie FM Kills says this email. Rick, I just passed sand in Pioneer during my lunch hour. What is that?
It's some... Oh, I don't know. It's like something for kids, like they're building sandcastles and sculptures and stuff.
Oh, it's the thing for the children?
I think so.
Rick, I just passed Sand and Pioneer during my lunch hour. I got to observe the Charlie FM event van, which looks like a repainted Timmy wagon. Anyway, the driver wasn't paying attention and ran over a handicapped puppet. And then he signs it, Oh, the Muppanity. Remember, kids?
We run over everything.
Rick Emerson saves. Charlie kills. There you go. Let's break now. Here's what's coming up.
Is that a promise?
No. I don't even know.
I think we should just do news.
No, I have to get to... I'll do news that hurts. We can do news that hurts. We'll do more of the City Desk. Scott Daly is coming up at the bottom of the hour. We probably should do a couple of these World Series of Pop Girls or Russians and so forth. Oh, and Scotty's got more guests he wants to run by us. All right. Here's Double D and Steinsky. Back after this is Rick Emerson Show.